What is up? Welcome back to Bleach Boys, talking episode 23 of Bleach Thousand Year Blood War. This is the episode a lot of people have been dreading because everybody's favorite Sturm Raider makes their appearance in this episode. I, for one, saw the leaks really early, and all I saw before going to this episode was they extended the Byakuya scene, and I was like, God damn, I can't wait to watch this episode. I was very excited, especially coming off of how glowing of a review I had of episode 22 last time. Mm-hmm. I was like, episode 23, you know, it's going to be more of the same. I should have maybe written this down. All of the episode titles and basically what they're about got leaked, supposedly.
Yeah, it's unconfirmed.
So, but that is floating out there. So if you do care about leaks, you care about spoilers, obviously best of luck trying to avoid that. But we now know the general consensus of what it's going to be looking like. We can kind of take an educated guess on where they're going to be ending. So good stuff to be looking forward to. As we thought, a lot of going to be Squad Zero versus, you know, the Sturm Raiders and the Royal Guards and things like that. Should be exciting. This one actually ends with that scene, which I was surprised. We're going to
pretty badass.
Hop right fucking into it. And then we'll start from the beginning. I'm going to try and keep the summary as brief as possible. But I took so much goddamn notes because there was so much Meiri exposition on how everything fucking worked. I was like, dude, I'm basically writing the whole episode.
Yeah,
I'm writing the whole fucking episode. With that, let's go. All right. So we kick back off with the Toshiro joining the fight. We get the classic reaction shot of everybody, which they've not really been keeping in the anime, so I'll take it. My first note immediately is Ikkaku's the goat. Okay? He saves Yumachika's ass, dude.
Such a good guy.
Yes.
Pushes him.
Yumachika goes to shoot a Bakudo, and he's like, no, you fucking idiot. You're not going to be able to block it with Kido. Knocks his ass away, and Yumachika's like, oh, thanks, Ikkaku. Like, you're the boy. And then sees that Ikkaku's fucking leg is covered in ice, and he's like, oh, shit. And Ikkaku's like, oh, well, for a captain, like, such as Toshiro, no biggie.
I just lost my leg.
Yeah, no biggie. I made out lucky.
Yep.
And then fucking zombie Toshiro is on insane crackhead time and just immediately comes over and starts slashing the fuck out of him.
Which was fucking crazy.
Yeah, so he does. Let's see. I have it here. Ikkaku gets stabbed in the shoulder by Toshiro, mm-hmm. then gets slashed again in the back. Like, yep. He's taking a fucking lashing, dude. And then Yumichika comes over, blocks the third hit. Toshiro fucking knees him with a knee covered in an ice dagger.
See, I thought that was so cool. I'm like, Toshiro should just, like, include all of these things. Kind of like Gray from...
Like, the zombie fighting style to me that we see of Toshiro here, which is, like, on fucking insane times two crackhead fighting style, reminds me of, like, classic Ichigo getting taken over by White or Ichigo, where the fighting style changes so much.
So drastically.
Where it's like, dude, I'm asked the same question that I asked about Ichigo in the Hollow. Why does Toshiro not use this shit?
Because he's a gentle soul.
Yeah.
It's been said he's a lot kinder and stuff, but now without any of that kindness, he's just a fucking killing machine.
He's crazy. He's aggressive.
Some would say he's cold
blooded. He's constantly countering. Okay, we're not going to give he's countering and doing all kinds of crazy shit. He's awesome in this mode.
I like that kneeing, though. Like, yes. When he kneed and created the spike.
I will say I did not see any of the purple effects that we got in BBS. Yeah. That was a little bit of a disappointment.
That's okay.
But any combo from fucking Toshiro through this whole episode, even against Meiri, Ikkaku, Yumachika, insane.
Really fucking good.
It was brutal. I remember exclaiming out loud a couple times, oh, shit. Yep. We hit somebody.
I was watching this, and I do it like Saturday morning cartoons. I have my coffee and my breakfast, and my girl's like, I'm going to sit down and watch this one with you. Sees that. She's like, what the fuck, man? This is aggressive.
Dude, the ways he killed Meiri, aggressive. The ways that he took out Charlotte, that was the most gruesome one, dude.
Charlotte, I am so sorry.
Charlotte had his time to shine for the last episode.
She will be missed.
Toshiro squashed that shit into the ground this episode. I was like, what the fuck?
Instantly.
Yeah. Which is interesting, by the way, because when Toshiro shows up, Meiri almost has a shocked reaction of when Charlotte goes in and he's like, stop. Like, he tries to stop him. When the other captains show up, he's like, oh, yeah, you guys can take him. Go for it. So that, I mean, listen, I love hating on Toshiro. We haven't even gotten to the parts where I love hating on Toshiro. But that being said, I think that puts a respect on Toshiro's name where Meiri's like, don't fuck with that guy.
He's a genius. He knows how to fight. His powers are broken.
Yeah, they are. They are. And I feel like for someone as studious as Meiri, he probably knows better than anybody. Where it's like, we're not 100% with Toshiro. He's a prodigy. He got his Bankai. Who knows what powers? Don't fuck with him. But it's like, can't say and Rose, they're washed. Go for it, dude. Fucking take him out, please. Yep. Send the backup of Ronkers in, please.
Zombie Toshiro is just Toshiro if he didn't fuck around.
True.
Thank you.
True. That's a great way to describe it.
Imagine if he was doing that against Holly Bell.
Game over, dude. The speed and the aggressiveness of Zombie Tosh versus Halibel, it would have been fucking over.
But there was also a gap of him training in between then and now, right?
This is true.
And you could potentially say that maybe a lot of Toshiro's sword skills here were from when he was training to do it without his Bankai, from in between the first and the second arc.
He just got better at everything all around.
And then Zombie Toshiro was the only one that got to use it. It was like, yeah, let's go. They were like, we on fucking extra time, baby.
He was loving it.
How did he describe it? He's got to build himself back up from zero.
Yep.
Cannot wait for that three-piece combo later on.
Gonna be fire. I know. I'm so excited.
Gonna be super fire. We covered a whole bunch of stuff in that little spiel here, so I'm going to just kind of speed forward. Mayuri shows up. Charlotte gets fucking roasted. Giselle basically confirms what Mayuri was thinking, is that because Hitsugaya is so fast and so maneuverable that he must have been turned into a zombie before he died. And because of that, his cells are fresher and it's more nimble. So then that Giselle also comments that their mind perishes, so it's easier for her to control them as well. So unlike Mayuri zombies, they don't really have a mind of their own. It just perishes, go right away. But then Toshiro's also reacting stuff. So I don't know how exactly true that is.
Because when they start their engagement, he starts going like, I want to see what you're made of. I want to see what you can do. And then they immediately proceed to do like all the like back and forth stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So Mayuri and Giselle go back and forth here on basically who's got the better option for zombies and things like that. Mayuri, it very much like, where's the fun in controlling those without a mind? And Giselle is just like, yeah, I mean, I'm not a sadist, so I don't know what you're talking about. And that's where we get to see the RIP to Charlotte here. And then Mayuri puts up like some sort of golden bars to block them.
I will say, though, that Charlotte's entrance was pretty badass.
Yeah. Boom. Oh, yeah. Like, and you get to see how much bigger Charlotte is compared to Toshiro. Bro, the size.
She's giant.
Oh, yeah. She would fuck him up. If it was no powers, shit. If it was a fist fight, oh, my God. So Charlotte still, though, had a great.
RIP Charlotte.
Yeah. She's on the ground. Charlotte is on the ground just fucking dying. Mary's like, I'm going to leave you there for your punishment, not being able to tell that you couldn't take Toshiro. And then we go to the biggest lie that's probably ever been told. Mary says that it's not in his nature to harm those without consent. So we know that's not fucking true, from especially if we're going to keep it relevant to this arc. Poor Uryu's grandpa. I doubt he consented to whatever happened to him.
I recently reread that like a couple days ago.
And was there consent?
Fuck no. Do you remember he chose Uryu a picture of his grandpa's like head, because that's all that was left.
Jeez, that's brutal. I saw a thing just recently talking about how there's actually quite a few scenes from the anime to the manga that are much more brutal in the manga, aside from those, like the ones that we know. Like, first one that pops in my mind is the Uryu getting his hand crushed by Okiura, mm-hmm. where instead it gets cut off in the manga. There's a few of them. There's a whole bunch of different scenes and changes like that.
It's to, you know, standards and practices. You can't get away with that on prime time.
Yeah, the time slot was a lot different back then too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw another thing also of Kubo talked in an interview how I guess in the last episode with Giselle, there was multiple times where I guess Kubo himself had to remind the people working on the episode, like, we are specifically in the adult time slot so we can show these things. Like, keep that in.
He did. I heard he wanted the hand between the titties.
Yeah, he couldn't get it.
They said it was too lewd. I'm sorry, guys.
This is not looking well for the Uroichi stretch.
That's what everyone is saying.
We should start a running bet. Like, we need to find some illegal gambling website, and we'll start a running tally on who is the scene Thunder God going to show up in the anime as represented from the manga. We'll start taking bets.
Yep.
I need to point out for that scene that the chapter page is just Uruichi's ass.
Yeah, I remember when she's like jumping, it's just like leg, big old booty.
They would have to change a little bit of the form's design to not show that much, because that form's pretty revealing as a whole.
I'm okay with it.
Well, of course, but yeah, I'm just saying if they do not put that in, that means they're changing the form as a whole.
I'm going to be so mad.
Yeah, right with the fandom. We would riot a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Unlike last week, where I'm okay with losing the fan service for, you know, tone reasons, I would just be mad to lose the Uroichi booty. Come on.
I feel like more so than any scene in Thousand Year Blood War yet, I feel like the Yoruichi thunderclap scene has been talked about since the fucking thing got greenlit.
Yup.
Like, I can't imagine them being so tone deaf where they would change it, because I feel like that would, the fandom would literally freak out.
I'm going to say they won't remove it, but they will censor it slightly. They'll give her more lightning.
They'll either tone it down or have the angle change the bit.
I just want to go back to, once again, if Kubo, the people at Puro, if they were mastermind marketers, they censor the shit out of it, okay? They do like classic anime clouds, all right? Thunder, whatever, blocking it. They say at the end of the episode, it'll be uncensored on the DVD. It'll be uncensored on the Blu-ray. They would get so many copies sold.
Instantly. And then if take put my it up, money. Like,
or even, here's another better one. If they want instant transactions, instant. They release the episode on primetime TV. They release it available for purchase on like Apple or wherever you could purchase your live. I don't know where you purchase videos and episodes nowadays. Hulu, Spotify, I don't know. But they put the episode $1.99, uncensored. Go right onto the internet. People would go apeshit.
100% will.
I'd do it. I'd pay for it.
I would pay for it too.
Oh, yeah. And they could even release it like a day later and people will still go back.
For that.
I'd pay $5 for just the scene.
Don't give just the scene.
Yeah. I'm sure, as with most things, if it does not get animated, someone online will go in and be like, yeah, I got you guys. I will edit this,
spend thousands of hours doing it.
Mm.
Speaking of, did you ever see the Blood War animated that guy tried to make?
No. I didn't even know.
Was that the one that Johnny Young Bosch came back and voiced?
Yes.
I did see it. Yeah. I don't know if they ever did more than one episode, but I saw the first one.
Yeah, it was just one episode, but it was done really well.
Yeah, it was done well. And, I mean, hey, we had Johnny in it. How can you hate it?
He just wanted to be Ichigo again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Back to the episode. We get the opening credit now. We get the multiple verses of Mieri and Toshiro here. And Hitsugaya attacks, and he's basically, Mieri's like, I'm sure you're puzzled how somebody that's sitting in a lab all day can keep up with you. And he shows that he put a sensor on his Zanpakuto that basically automatically blocks any blade within 2 shaku of him, and it comes at him at an angle of 60 degrees or more. So it automatically blocks all of that shit, which classic Mieri. And Hitsugaya then goes to knee him, which like he did to Yumichika. And Mieri also blocks it with this like purple claw circular thing. And Mary's like, yeah, didn't you think I was baiting you into that? Like, come on. Like,
but that whole fight sequence was so fluid. I rewatched it a couple of times. I was like, God damn, this is so nice.
Super good. Super good. And then like the cloth that Mary's using, like attaches to his knee, blows it up. Toshiro immediately heals it with ice. Like just reattach, boom. And I'm like, dude, Toshiro is cracked, man. He's so cool. And so Hitsugaya then in that fight as well, grabs Mayuri's sword with his hand and goes Bankai, freezing it, and just goes right up the middle of Mieri and then stabs him. And then we go back to square one with the talk about the drugs. And we get to see this multiple times here. So Hitsugaya this time jumps to attack, same speech about the sword. And at this point, Hitsugaya's like, what the fuck? What's happening here? And Mieri's like, oh, so you can hold a conversation. Like, yep. You can speak. And then we go, Toshiro goes Bankai. This time he completely full on 100 degree freezes Mieri, just takes him out instantly. And we go back to the beginning with a discussion about the drugs that Mieri wants to try on Toshiro. And this time Toshiro's like, okay, what the hell's going on? And Mieri's like, oh, your brain is becoming aware. I wonder how many nows it has been.
Yeah, when he says that, I was like, cool.
Yes. And so he goes on to explain the drug here. I will keep it as brief as possible. He says, these drugs basically give a new wonderful experience to the user. It gives them power, sensation, reaction, and courage above the average. And he's like, for you, I gave you the power to see the past. Every time you cross a certain point in battle, you return to a moment in the past. And the point for him is when he kills Mayuri. And anytime that he kills Mayuri, his future ceases to exist. So he's basically forever trapped and cannot go past his future as long as he kills Mieri.
Yep. That reminds me of Izanami or Izanagi?
Yeah. Izanagi. I think Izanagi. Oh, fuck. I have no idea now, Jose.
It's one of the two. Yeah. One cancels the other, I believe.
The one that he did on Kabuto.
Izanami, I think.
Yeah, that's the one. Same thing. Which also was very similar to his fucking drug from the beginning with Xyloparo.
Yep.
Also, for my JoJo fans, he just got hit with Gold Experience Requiem.
Here, I'm going to do a take where I know what that means. Go ahead.
Yep.
Ready?
Cool. He got hit with Gold Experience Requiem.
Oh, he did. Oh, my dude, that's God. Totally. We've not seen JoJo. Okay, actually, correction. I've seen the first 2 seasons of JoJo, which I hear are the worst ones. So
yeah, just watch part 3.
I couldn't get past it, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen people before being like, just watch part 3. Just skip to part 3. Because I've heard incredible things about one of the parts. I don't know if it's part 3, part 4, where it's basically like Lord of the Rings in an anime.
I heard it was 4.
It might be 4. I don't know. But
Pythies?
4, 5. 3, 4, 5, 6. Those are the good ones.
Okay. All right.
There you go. So Mayuri continues to go on and says that the drug has an imperfection and that it only works on the part of the brain that controls the short-term memory. So its users are unable to remember the number of times they've returned to the past. And once they go past 10 times, they'll experience a serious side effect. And that side effect for Toshiro is that his part of the brain that controls the equilibrium becomes paralyzed for 30 seconds. And so, yeah, you can't really introduce the drug into the market because it's got a horrible side effect. And Mayuri now fucking gets down his level. He's like, so I got a question for you now. At what point did I administer the drug to you? And he's like, you can give me that answer in the past, and stabs the fuck out of him.
Mm-hmm. Bro, my girl was watching that and she just goes, God damn, who is that guy? Is he the bad guy? I'm like, no, he's the good guy.
How you would think he was the bad guy.
I
was like,
I love him. She has no experience with Bleach besides the first 10-15 episodes. Mm-hmm. That's as far as she ever got.
Mayuri definitely, out of all the characters that are on the good side, if somebody was watching, be like, he's a bad guy. Yeah, he's a bad guy.
He's a great guy.
He still is a bad guy.
Which we get to see a little bit in the conversation that he has with Byakuya later as well.
Yeah. I love Mayuri, though.
The funniest part is he says, you know, you can't release that. We can't put that out for sale yet. And I'm like, oh my God, he is actually testing it for consumer use. That was the funniest part.
He's so
good.
We
live in a capitalist economy, okay? You always got to be thinking about number
society.
One.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, haha, I have this drug I'm going to test out. We'll see how much I can torture you. It's, hey, let's see how this works out.
Mm-hmm. So Hitsuga gets hit with Ashisogi Jizo. I assume I said that correctly right there.
Correct.
And so now the rest of his limbs become completely paralyzed. And Mayuri is like, well, I got a new drug that I'm going to try. And it says having to administer this to someone who can't fight back just deeply pains him. So Toshiro starts freaking out and screaming for him not to do it. And Mayuri just goes ahead and says right into his neck. And that's when we get to see the zombie of Rose, Kensei, and Rangiku that we referred to earlier, where Mayuri not phased at all. And it's just like, yeah, wow, two captains and lieutenant. That is truly pitiful. It's not even funny.
Where is my waifu during all of this? I guess she doesn't have to intervene though, because
maybe,
you know,
she's getting on her other outfit.
She took off her yep. sunny outfit. Yep. Yeah, you're yep. right.
So she's putting the sunny outfit on.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. So Mayuri sends in the rest of the Arrancar crew and they all just jump in and attack. And Mayuri continues to literally just stand above Toshiro watching as he's fucking screaming. And then we get the mid credit scene, which is just a nice little sketchers. Which one of them was Sinbon Zakura.
Yeah, Kagi the second Yoshi, one.
Which we love that. And that means we're going straight over to Byakuya. We love that shit. So Pythies, I'm going to throw this over to you really quick because here's what I wrote for the notes right at the start. All caps, Robert is using his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, oh!
So in this fight scene and with everything before in the anime, he now has more screen time in the anime than the manga.
So I, once again, really, really like... So we still don't know what his letter means, correct?
I don't think so.
I still really like this aspect of Robert's character where he knows what is going to be happening from Yuha. He knows what's coming. And because of that, he is like freaked out. He's like, I need to get a W or I'm going to be fucked. Like, I got to get this in. And he lets it affect how he fights, lets it affect how he does everything. I like that.
And you can see it really affects his ability because he's the dude that was cold, calculated, shot out Shunsui's eye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now he's like, oh,
he's under pressure.
He's not thinking. He's like, I just got to shoot at Byakuya. This will work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's crazy. So Byakuya in this scene, by the way, is just getting fucking jumped at the start. Just all of them are starting to circle him. Nanana, I assume is that name, shoots morphine pattern as he tries to scan Byakuya. And he's like, fucking has no openings in his spiritual pressure. What the fuck? And he just gets Sinbon Zakura right to the face.
Yeah, I hope he gets fucking wrecked.
Candace goes into attack, but she says that she's run out of juice having to fuck around with Ichigo for so long. Also slapped with Sinbon Zakura.
I just want to say... thank you for animating that scene, okay? My girl be thick. Oh, my God.
Yeah, when she's on the ground, dog.
Yep, I was like, holy shit.
I saw someone post that. I was like, I haven't watched the episode yet, but yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, too. I was like, whoo.
Like, so funny,
God damn. Saved it.
And then so Robert uses Sclave Rye. I don't know if that's how this is pronounced. And he yells about how he's going to defeat Byakuya before he goes to defeat Ichigo so that he can join His Majesty's side. But once again, it's what we're talking about. And it's called I don't know how to say this. Grimaniel is what it's called. And I put Robert equips a fucking paintball mask and then just yeets towards Byakuya.
I thought that was pretty cool, though.
Dude, Honestly, so Byakuya's Bankai Senban Zakure Kageyoshi, we've seen it a bajillion times. Beautiful. Chef's kiss. Robert shoots a bullet, fucking launches himself into the million of blades that is Byakuya's. I thought we were going to see the next scene. He was going to be mincemeat.
I thought, yeah, we were going to see like blood splatter, yeah, and then just fucking minced up person.
It came off to me as like I'm watching. If I had slowed it down, if they put that shit in slow motion, it's out of the Saw movies. Like, yeah. I was like, that is fucking nasty, dude. Nasty. Imagine what a horrible way to go. It's like he goes, what, he looked like he was going fast as fuck right in to Senban Zakure Kageyoshi. Yep. He's like, dude, that is brutal,
like a wood chipper. No, almost.
He has future freakouts to do, so he can't be mincemeat yet.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you remember him getting hit with the Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Yeah.
Well, I just feel like maybe, you know, he could have a lot of scars on him. You know, he comes out looking like the bad guy from Jujutsu Kaisen with the scars all over his face.
We might talk about that later.
So all three Stern Ritter are instantly defeated at this point. And then we see Meninas and Lil Toto from Wizard of Oz. And Meninas is just like, yeah, well, you know, considering our abilities, it makes sense that we're the only ones that are left. And Lil Toto is the first to go, where the fuck's Pepe? Where's he even been with all this time? And he's like, if he was here, we'd have way more power, be way more even. And Lil Toto's like, well, puke or pig is better than having nothing, you know? And Shuei appears, long time no see. And he's like, yo, I took down one of the enemies also. And Shuei's like, oh, damn, Byakuya took down three. Like, that's crazy. That's like the difference in the power of captains and lieutenants. And Shuei walks towards Byakuya, attacks him, but Byakuya's just immediately blocking, always on guard. He's still looking around the whole time he's talking to Shuei. Byakuya immediately is like, okay, are you an enemy in disguise or are you being controlled? Like, which one is it? And Lil Toto is like, oh, he's here. And Pepe comes fucking floating in on an upside down sombrero or whatever the fuck he's on. And he starts to go, one heart, one body, one glance by my eyes, and your heart will be split in two. Your body and heart split in two. Both belong to me. And Pepe arrives, Stern Ritter L, the love, everybody's favorite character.
Ooh.
Now, have you guys seen the controversy behind Pepe's arrival?
No.
They gave him Shinji's theme. They gave Pepe Shinji's new theme. I didn't even
think about that. Yep.
Is that it?
Yep, that's the same fucking song. And they gave it to Pepe, of all characters. Poor fucking notice. Shinji.
Can't get a damn W in anything.
Oh my God, that's another Shinji. L.
Holy shit.
Just like, and I feel like that song came out and everybody was like, that's so Shinji. That's so, yeah. What a great song for Shinji. And then they just use it for Pepe. I'm like, oh, like that sucks.
When the soundtrack comes out, I am asking all the people on YouTube when they put that up to exclusively call it the Pepe theme.
That would be funny. God. Everybody's looking at Shinji new theme. Shinji new theme. No, Pepe theme.
You're wrong, sir. It's the Pepe theme.
I should have known, because one of my notes was, why the fuck he got an R&B track in the background?
Yeah, it's Shinji's. I got to say, though, that song with Pepe coming in, had you not known some of the stuff about Pepe being the fucking worst character, he came out pretty cool. He was like a cool little jazz guy coming floating in until you find out he's a weirdo later.
Oh, yeah. Fucking weird Cupid looking motherfucker.
He didn't have a fucking diaper. Maybe I would think.
Yeah,
that's the classic Cupid outfit.
That's
you guys.
I saw it. That's like, the classic dude, Cupid outfit. I remember like reading that all those years ago and be like, oh, this is kind of gross.
I remember reading it all those years ago and thinking, man, fuck this guy.
Listen, Pepe did not get to choose the letter he was given. Okay, maybe the outfit comes with a letter. Like, how would you feel? All right, not
great.
Could have
been like a suave guy, you know. Instead, he let himself go.
Listen, okay, why put in the effort if he could immediately just control you, all right?
He should have looked like Don Panini.
If he looked like Don Panini.
True, if he looked like Don Panini coming out like that, people would have had a much different story.
By the way, I was at work the other day, and I could not fucking remember Don Panini's real name.
Dordoni,
because we called him Don Panini so much.
Yeah.
So Pepe shoots a heart out, and it's immediately aimed at Lil Toto. She dodges, and it hits poor Meninas. And Pepe is like sad. Battles are always sad because there's love there. All battles happen out of love. When there's no love, there's no battle. And Byakuya is just full on fighting Shuei. Eventually knocks his ass out on the ground. Byakuya's like, okay, you done with your stupid speech? Because, you know, I'm done over here also. And he's like, you're running your mouth about love, but simply put, you can control people's wills. And that means cutting you down, the puppeteer, will sever the strings. And Pepe begins to shoot more hearts at Byakuya. He dodges, no biggie. But he blocks one with his Zanpakuto. He fucks up. Byakuya is like, oh, it seems you cannot control things that have no souls. And Pepe's like, well, if you figured it out, why'd you block your Zanpakuto? And then his Zanpakuto turns and just fucking slashes the shit out of Byakuya. Pepe is like, that's why he didn't take a Bankai in the first invasion, because he could, a Zanpakuto with a soul, he could take it any time. No biggie. He doesn't need it. So Byakuya throws his Zanpakuto away, and Shuhei immediately gets back up, pulls it out of the wall, is now wielding one hand Byakuya's Zanpakuto, the other hand just letting part of his own Zanpakuto drag on the ground.
One, dragged on.
That seems like a danger hazard. He's going to trip and hit his leg. So he begins to just attack Byakuya, dual wielding both of those things. And Byakuya is cracked, blocking it with both just unarmed combat.
When the sword came down and he palmed it off to the side, I was like, my God, what a fucking beast.
Incredible. What really, really cool. And he mentioned that he could only block using just Hakuda for just only like for so long. So he's got to figure out a game plan. And he also mentioned, which I love this fucking part, he hesitated blocking or breaking his Zanpakuto.
Yeah.
So he threw it. And he's like, I should have just broke it.
Yep.
Even after he's like, everybody else got their Zanpakuto broken. Everybody else had to make a fucking new one. He's like, fuck, I should have broken it.
Yep.
Be part of the game. Now that he's seen the promised land, he's like, I'll just get another one. I'll just break that shit up top. Yep. So Pepe shoots Byakuya in the back when in the middle of this, and he hits him with a love kiss. Byakuya still just continues to block. And Pepe's like, what the fuck? Is there no love in your heart? And he's like, I can't forgive you for rejecting my love. And goes into his Vol standing mode, which is Gu Doero. And now he looks like the classic chubby Cupid that we were all shitting on earlier.
He was worse.
And Pepe uses love rods, robs. I don't know what if I mistyped that there. And he just three chains of hearts, and he puts it right through Byakuya's chest. And at this point, Byakuya's stunned. He can't move. And Pepe is like, Shuhei, don't kill him. I'm going to kill him with my own love. And he pulls out the classic fucking Cupid bow and arrow from his stomach, just from his throat, pulls it out. And Pepe is all of a sudden kicked in the face, and we see zombie Kensei and Rose all of a sudden there to help out. And Shuhei jumps to attack Byakuya, but Kensei punches him in the gut and slams him into the ground. Kensei takes Byakuya's Zanpakuto and begins to hand it back to Byakuya, and we see the brand new Miyuri's there, good to go. And Miyuri's like, oh, what a perfect time to come across an enemy. This is just what I needed to test the performance of my Kurosuchi corpse unit. And Byakuya's like, what did you do to Kensei and Rose? Like, Miyuri's the one that did all of it. He's like, well, that's fucking rude. Like, I saved them.
I saved them from death.
So we get to see exactly how he did that. We get to the knocked out bodies of Kensei and Rose. So we have no idea how they lost the Iran cards, but they got roasted apparently. I'm going to headcanon it that hopefully Hitsugaya helped out. Otherwise, it's just embarrassing again for Kensei and Rose.
Yup.
He explains that he mixed the drug into the bodily fluids of the Iran cards. And he says that, you know, hopefully you guys enjoyed being sprayed thoroughly by it the whole time. And we get to see Vanderwitch, whatever her name is, appear behind Miri. And she's
that
like,
little corner thing.
Little hand,
and she's like,
and he's like, I have tolerance for that. Don't even try it. I'm like, hey, I respect the gumption. Hey, good try. She hear that shit? Like, I'm going to splash the fuck out of him with it.
Yeah, she's slit.
Mm-hmm. So Miri then injects Kensei and Rose with the same exact drug that he used on Toshiro. And Miri starts explaining this whole time Giselle's watching this whole thing, just not attacking. And Miri gives her the full fucking explanation that he's figured out the amount of blood needed to turn someone into a zombie depends on their spiritual pressure. So if the pressure is low, a single drop is enough, which is what we saw her do with all the regular just run-of-the-mill Soul Reapers when she just shot it all over the place. But she said for captains and lieutenants, the intruding blood must multiply in their hearts before traveling the rest of the body. And that's why they have that dark red tint to them. Miri explains that he has a sample of literally every squad member's blood. The drug that he's using replaces any foreign blood with the blood-like substance that he's created, thus turning Giselle's zombies into his own fucking zombies. And he says, you lose, zombie girl, as she gets fucking stabbed. Byakuya cut back, and he's like, you could have just let them die. Like, why are you, like, toying with their lives like this? And Amir's like, well, don't you think it's the duty of the 13 court guard squads to defend the Sarate even in death?
Well, that's a cold line. I'm like, God,
which
damn,
also
he's so sick.
Is a bad guy line. Okay?
But I love him.
Also,
you know
a fucking
cool
bad guy line where, like, Byakuya is of the honorable death one. And Miri is like, no, you signed up for this life. You're in it until I say you're fucking done. Dog.
Yep.
Like, I don't give a shit if you die. Sorry. Which he's been like that since the very beginning, using his fucking own squad members for bombs and stuff like that. He's like, oh, to protect the Sarate. Go on out there, guys.
True.
Come on.
True.
Put your
true.
Life on the line.
We're just going to go right into one of the notes I wrote.
Go, go.
Do you remember when I talked about Shunsui had to threaten Mayuri and can't figure out?
I remember that discussion well. I thought that was one of the coldest discussions.
And this really goes the way to reinforce it, where he goes, if I get kicked out as the captain of squad one, they'll choose Byakuya, and he's not going to put up with your shit like I will. As far as I remember, maybe more happened. I think this is like the only conversation Byakuya and Mayuri have, and it's them just vehemently disagreeing on shit.
Yep.
So like, it's very much like Byakuya is your classic lawful good archetype. You know, don't fuck around.
Mayuri is. I wouldn't say Mayuri's like he's not in the good category. Is he chaotic neutral?
No. I would say almost. I would say chaotic neutral slash maybe teetering chaotic evil. Just
I agree with that. He's just sadistic in the things he does.
A lot of times in those charts, evil doesn't necessarily mean like you're evil. It's just you're kind of more self-serving. You know, you're looking out for number one. That's what you're always going to be doing. And I think that's Mayuri.
I think if Mayuri got a better offer from literally anybody, he would switch teams.
He's a scientist. He just does it for the science.
Yeah. If there was better research to be had in a better laboratory, he'd be like, yeah, deuces, dog. Later.
Like, do you think he went to Wakamundo because he was like, oh, man, I got to help all the people? He's like, oh, but there's a lab there.
Yeah, he went to Wakamundo because, like, think of all the experiments that I can
Yeah, that's exactly what he was thinking. He's
the
like,
the newest spot of the Arrancar that are being created. He's like, fuck yeah.
I haven't gotten to dissect an Arrancar yet.
And then he finds a whole fucking laboratory full of them.
Yeah, good to go, baby. The dream of them, come true.
One of them used to be in Espada. Can you imagine how hype he was?
Yeah,
oh,
true.
That's true.
True.
Why did he take Xyloporo's body?
Great question.
He's in hell.
But the body, well, the soul goes, but...
They all kept their personalities and souls, right? Because Dordoni still got his...
Maybe they potentially didn't die yet.
They were on the verge of
because
death, probably.
Because remember, they got fucked up by Uryu and Ichigo. And then the last thing we saw is the execution squad showed up. And that's how they got the Xyloporo's facility.
Yeah.
So potentially, let's say Xyloporo was keeping them on the edge of death to keep them alive just in case.
Possibly.
Yeah, makes sense.
And that's potentially how that he's able to do it, kind of similar to what Giselle does with the Lieutenant and the Captains, where it's like they want to be on, they want to be teetering, and then he can take over them. Where like Xyloporo, the way that it was set up, he's going to die once that thing pierces his heart. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking it.
By the way, that is one of the most brutal deaths I have ever seen.
Yup.
Mm-hmm. Not a good time. And I could see also Mayuri making a point where I'm going to leave this guy here. Fuck him.
Yep.
He thought he knew what perfection was.
Yep.
So just then, back in the episode, Pepe reappears, shoots Kensei, and he's like, oh, well, don't you know my love is stronger than Gigi's zombie? And he's like, have you even charmed one of Gigi's zombies in the past? And just then, Kensei fucking smashes Pepe in the face, and Kensei is now in Bankai mode, all of a sudden, good to go. And Mira's like, don't you, like, have you not been watching? Have you not learned anything? My zombies don't understand love. As Kensei just begins to pummel the fuck out of Pepe, much deserved,
hey,
just beating
go.
The shit out of him, and launches him into a building. Pepe gets back up, and, this is where we've seen Lil Toto, ready, good to go.
Yep.
But before we fucking get there, we talked about this. It. They fucking show Pepe's ass in this scene, ripped through his little diaper thing.
Fucking blasphemy.
We get Pepe booty, but no Rukia booty.
Well, no Rukia booty and no hand between titties, but we know why.
Who's deciding this on the committee? We should at least get the Rukia booty scene.
At least in a dream.
What? That... The Pepe booty was not in the manga.
Dude.
Hey, what?
Dude, they added that scene and took out the glorious Rukia scene that we get. Oh, man. Like, I'm not as much upset over the Yodoichi boob thing because
I understood like it, though.
That,
I get why
they
took it out.
Borderline's a kind of perverted side, but Rukia floating in the water with her booty, that's comedy and
that was
his
innocence.
Booty. All one.
Fuck Pepe. I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. Maybe Kubo thought it would be funny.
True.
Yeah, he would do that to us.
Oh yeah, Kubo's. That's, if we've learned anything about Kubo, is he's a fucking troll through and through.
Considering that like most of like the Pesce comedy is just his crotch and his dumb loincloth.
Yup.
I could definitely see Kubo like he's looking over the storyboards and going, "Wait." We need to see ass crack.
No, it's him literally going like, "You guys want to see ass? I'll show you some ass."
Mm-hmm.
He, like, picks up a paper. He draws Pepe's ass. He's like, put this in.
Put this in now.
Just a little something I drew on my lunch break here for you guys. If you could just throw that in there.
Imagine him teasing the season and be like, there will be ass shown in
that
this season.
That would be so funny, dude.
And everyone's just waiting for it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And then, boom, Pepe button.
That
like,
would be
God damn
so
it.
Funny. People would riot.
I would respect it if he just came
if
out.
He, yeah, yeah, if he teased it like that.
I feel like sometimes when you see that shit, you just got to respect the hustle. It's just like, hey, fair play. You know what? I'm pissed as fuck, but fair play.
It's like you start the first episode of like the live action One Piece and it says, beware of nudity. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then it's just some dude's ass. You see naked Helmeppo.
The classic Troy.
Yeah.
The fuck is Troy?
What do you mean the fuck is Troy? Pythies, you've not seen Troy?
You mean the movie where you deuce? You see lady ass in that too?
Yeah, yeah, but you see, why can I not remember his fucking name?
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt's ass in that, like almost right at the start.
Dude, his ass is glorious. Fuck you.
You've been doing squats, huh?
I'm just saying, that's a classic Troy. That shit kicks off. What do we see? Brad Pitt's ass. Like, all right, let's go.
Also, just letting everybody know, Troy is goated. Go watch it.
Great movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Hidalgo is also goated, though. Everybody, Sam. Hey, Sam, you should go watch Hidalgo.
I've seen Hidalgo. It's Jose that hasn't seen Hidalgo.
Oh, it's Hidalgo. Hey, Jose.
Yeah, I'll go watch it soon. It's on Disney Plus, right?
Yes, it's also great.
All right. We're at the tail end of the episode here. Lil Toto, she goes full standing, and she's like, yeah, you tried to kill us by turning us against each other. You understand you have to take responsibility, right? And just fucking chomps right into Pepe, which we don't get to see, unfortunately. We don't get to see the gruesomeness of that. And that's the end scene there. There is an after credit scene with the return of the king. We see Yuha, Yugram, and Udyu. They arrived at the royal palace, and they fucking obliterate some of the landing area.
Bro, that shit was cool,
just
though.
Just destroy that the shit fuck was cool. out of it. And then we get the ending poem here. Is life all that you can cut? And we find out the Bleach number 24, which is a very ominous title for the next episode. Too early to win, too late to know.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Was Lil Toto walking up on Pepe like kind of super threatening?
Oh, yeah, very. Oh, yeah. I like the way it was like done. Like the full standing shows up and then or her wings and everything. And she's just like, all right. Time to eat this motherfucker.
He calls her Lil Toto Chan. Like that's gonna save.
Like it's gonna save him.
You're looking great. You're looking great today, wait, girl. Just letting you know.
What happened to Minas?
She got knocked the fuck out.
Okay, yeah. Because I was like, I don't think she dies here.
That was the appetizer. Lil Toto ate her ass right before.
Yeah. Hey. Can I say my line?
Yeah. Go.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll find out what happens to her and Can't Feel Your Own World.
Mm-hmm.
I need a sponsorship, dude.
Yeah, so that's pretty much everything from me. The only thing, I got two things to touch on. One, I want to give a special shout out to Kensei. Actually gets a W in zombie form.
Yep.
So a rarity, and he
bugs
is,
him up.
He is like, air quote, dead at this point. So congratulations to Kensei. He's breaking the curse. We love to see that, even though it's technically Mayuri's win, although it's technically Lil Toto's win. So well, he gets a little piece of that cake. A little piece of that cake. Now, I don't know if you guys saw this. This is breaking news that came out today. So this will have come out yesterday if you guys are watching this. Burn the Witch just got announced a prologue episode.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
So
I didn't hear about this.
All of the original staff is coming back for it. It's going to be Studio Colorido, which is the same staff that did the movie three episodes. All the same voice actors are coming back. It's titled Burn the Witch Point Eight. It's
0.8, I think.
It's just 0.8.
Oh, Burn some Kingdom Hearts shit right there.
Prologue is getting adapted, and it's the I don't know if I ever read this chapter. So I saw this news happen, and I was like, are they making like a prologue all like by itself? And then I went straight to the Shonen Jump website, went to Burn the Witch. There was a prologue chapter that came out. I would assume after the chapters that we all read and loved. But it happens before the main story of the movie. And
that chapter came out way before those.
Really? I just must not fucking remember it at all. Because I went back and I read through it. And there were some pieces of character interaction where I'm like, okay, I kind of remember this stuff. I kind of get the gist. But I didn't remember like the little dragon that they were fighting.
Yeah.
And I did not remember a lot of stuff that I saw when I was looking through that chapter. So that being said, bit of a bonus, that episode will be almost completely new to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens to us when we only read it once through, right, Sam?
Mm-hmm.
Just like Bleach.
It's true. It's true.
I mean, when I was watching, or I guess reading all the four chapters Kubo put out, I was thinking, man, they didn't cover the opening.
Because I remember, I feel like that Burn the Witch chapter came out, and I almost remember reading it all in one go. Like, it was just one giant one-shot. And I just fucking read the whole thing.
I read it in one shot, and then you told me to watch the movie for it.
So, that's big news. I think the only official announcement we've gotten in terms of the continuation is the manga for sure. I don't know if there's a 100% official we're getting the anime as well. There's been talks about it. But I almost wonder if this is taking the place of that.
Probably. I feel like that's probably what they're going for.
It's just it seems just a little bit weird to me. Like, what are they doing with Burn the Witch? You know, like the fact that they had the movie come out. Now they're going back and they're adapting the chapter that they missed out on the very first part, which I saw a lot of people super happy for because they had the same reaction as like what you were having, Pythies, where why the fuck didn't they adapt to the opening? Now they're going back and they're doing that. What is the strategy here? Like, what I want to know who's on the board. What's the game plan for Burn the Witch?
I think they are covering all the bases for future installments.
So they're like, okay, listen, we need to do a season two. We fucking skipped the prologue. We need to now go back and do the prologue. We're sorry. Like, so we know it's a hit. We'll go back. We'll do the prologue. And then that'll hold you guys over. We'll work on season two.
Yeah. That's my guess, at least. I could be super fucking wrong.
It would be fucking nutty if once the episode came out, they immediately started releasing the manga. That would be great.
Damn, that would be sick. Mm.
Kubo comes out on Twitter and says, actually, I wrote the entire series 3 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was gone for the longest time. He might have already done most of it.
Well, to my knowledge, I think he has been spending so much time helping with the anime that I don't know how much he's been doing outside of that.
I feel like he's maybe got like the first season done.
He seems incredibly hands-on with the anime, where I'd be surprised what else he's getting done.
I just want more Burn the Witch. I think it's a really interesting world. And I just want one person to be like, oh man, that Soul Society East, that place is weird.
I wish. That's that'd the be one hilarious.
Reference you want. Just say, what if it's just like literally next Hell Arc chapter comes out, some two random ass wipes are just like talking around in the background, like, do you guys know Soul Society East? And then they just move on.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
No, they're like, the only way to get into Hell, Ichigo, is you have to ride a dragon.
Oh, crossover.
Yeah, there you go. It's like, we know just the two people who could get you the dragon.
Yep. And then introduce Ninny and Noel.
Fuck that. I like Bruno Bang Knife.
Yeah, he's my boy, dude. He's a Grimmjow.
He's so fucking cool.
Oh, dude, thank you. He's they need badass. To do
all of the Soul Societies, no crossovers, no nothing. And then we get a giant Expendables like...
I was going to say Avengers?
Yeah, Avengers, Expendables. Oh, my God. A giant crossover for all of them.
So, and then Grimmjow will be paired up with Bruno.
There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go.
And the two of them will team up with Kenpachi.
There you go. It's the Meathead Squad. We'll just send him right in.
I was having like a moment at work the other day because I was just, my brain was just going to random Bleach characters one after the other. And I realized even when a character's lame, a character in Bleach is usually super cool.
You like... Kubo did such a good job with all of these characters that we all fell in love with him. I mean, look at what happened with Maki Maki. He could have been a throwaway character, and everybody loves him.
I mean, Sam, is that true? Does everybody love Maki Maki?
Yes, they did. Yes. Okay.
Sam, have you read the comments on the short you put out on Maki Maki?
No.
People are super hyped. They're like, hell yeah, Maki Maki going to be a captain soon. He be in the Hell Arc.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All the comments just Maki Maki goated.
I have seen a lot of comments of people shitting on me on my five characters I could beat.
Oh, my God. I saw that. And the minute you said Renji, I fucking died. Dude. I died with that one. You said the Parakeet Kid.
Yep.
Hanatoro. Hanatoro.
Bambietta.
Bambietta. Because you would get seduced somehow.
Wander Weiss.
I'm
smarter than he is.
Okay. I don't know, man.
So the best part about all those comments, everybody is dunking on the first four, and they're like, yeah, you could take Renji.
Yeah, 100%.
It's just the minute you hear roar, you're like, boom, he's done. Yeah.
And a lot of them are like, well, like, Renji got his buff, so it might be a little harder. It's like, yeah, all right, you're right.
But
you're
then
right,
you hear everybody go like, I don't know, man. The minute he goes into Ashika,
I see a lot of, this guy thinks that Bambi was a deuce. I'm like, come on. Like,
he's the last guy in the room.
Yeah, come on. Like, she's going to run out eventually.
Shout outs to everybody talking shit in the comments. They are funny. Keep it up.
Yes, yeah. Thank you very much. I genuinely enjoy
always
those.
Always great. And then occasionally I'll see like some really, really toxic comments come in where it's like, oh, fuck you, this. I'm like, what is that about? And then somebody's in a full-on argument in the comments. Like, it's just totally irrelevant to what is happening.
Jose, did Sam tell you about that Dragon Ball Z argument?
No.
Did you see it? Jose. Okay, I'm not going to rehash it on the podcast. I'll tell you afterwards. But in the episode you weren't on, there's the funniest comment chain ever. So if you guys skipped
I haven't gone to it yet.
Watch our 21.5 episode we did. Unfortunately, Jose wasn't here for it. But I went over one of the funniest fucking comment chains that we've ever had. And just to give you a little tease, it was on Shinji's Bankai and how we were talking about how it could end the whole war. And somebody just went, Shinji's Bankai could technically solo the Dragon Ball universe. That is how that started. And it went just ape shit.
Damn, dude. That.
It was so funny.
As so Sam was reading that, I was actually crying laughing.
Oh, that's actually so fantastic. Funny. I got to go back and read that.
So, yeah, check that out. If you missed the recap episode, which I think a lot of people actually, a lot of you guys, which thank you. By the way, we talked about this beforehand. Welcome, all of the new people, if you made it this far. We love you. We've never had this much support on the podcast, doing it, period.
No, this is fantastic. I mean, as Sam, if you follow Sam on any social medias, he posted the, what is it, the analytics mm-hmm. for it?
Yeah.
Fucking thank you.
Which it looks even better now. So it's continuing to fly up. That's just YouTube alone. We do Instagram, TikTok. If you see the clips, they go everywhere. You've probably run into them multiple times. We had a lot of our viewers like, oh my fucking God, Sam's everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of people are like, fuck, it's these guys again.
The story, or the moral of the story, is just a thank you. Obviously, it's the podcast has been going very fantastic. We have Pythes on now. He's an incredible addition. So a big thank you to you, Pythes, as well.
He's a great lore master because, like I said, me and Sam have only read Bleach once through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I read it about through 10 years at ago. Least, I read it all the way through at least twice a year.
There you go. So it works out. And we appreciate you guys giving us a shot, watching the episodes. It's a lot of fun seeing all the toxic comments. A lot of fun seeing all the nice comments as well. I don't want to leave you guys out there. But we appreciate it. We hope you guys stick around even after Thousand Year Blood War Core 2 ends, because we should have some other stuff in store for you guys as well. That being said, Pythes, I'll hand it over to you if you want to discuss anything that we might have missed, anything you want to touch on for the episode 23.
And here are my notes. I think the first thing I wrote was, holy shit, that beatdown was so brutal.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Fucking awesome.
By the way, I'm going to clown on you, Sam. Did you, when Giselle said that she is not something, did you say the word saddest?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yes. I just now caught that.
It's sadist.
All right, whatever. Listen, if we're going to get anything clowned on, the pronunciation is the lowest hanging fruit you could grab for me, okay? You know no, I'm going to pronounce it wrong.
Wait, what?
It's the hair.
Okay. All right.
Well, now you sound like the comment section.
Second lowest section that you can pick.
Yeah, I mean, like the pronunciation can't hang any lower because there's no hair to hang on.
Damn.
You see my face right now, Pythes?
You sound like the comment section everywhere. Damn.
I ain't laughing.
I learned from Scar. I learned from the best.
Oh, the boy.
The boy. So I wrote, everything that my Yuri says is goated.
Yeah. Oh, yep. 100%. 100%. He's a great character.
And I want to just describe, like, so when he's talking to Toshiro, the scene is completely quiet. There's no music and barely any sound effects. It's just Mayuri speaking. Then you get the episode number, which is 23. And then the fucking soundtrack kicks in. It zooms in on Mayuri's face talking about all the drugs he wanted to test. And then you get a static title card into into marching out the zombies too. That shit was awesome.
Yeah, fire, fire.
And I did the same thing with JoJo. That's some Gold Experience Requiem shit. I might send you that clip later because it's brutal.
Okay, go ahead. I'm down.
Literally everything that happened from the minute the episode opened until they went to Byakuya was panel for panel exactly the same as the manga.
Okay, which we love. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And I was, because Jose was saying, like, man, the choreography is great. It was great. It's exactly like the manga.
Fantastic.
So the whole fight with Byakuya, the entire thing was anime only.
Love it. Thank you. Thank you. Again, thank you for whoever drew the backside of Candace.
And to be fair, also, that fight was relatively short.
It was not
a big part, but I think it was well needed, and I loved it. Byakuya mm-hmm. fucking manhandled the shit out of them, and I loved that part.
Because I think we all got really hyped when that started last episode, going, mm-hmm. oh, man, they're going to cut it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think that was our original prediction, right? We were thinking it was going to get cut.
I've done this the last couple episodes, but I did the pog face in real life again.
Nice.
Because, like, in the manga, it cuts from Mayuri to Byakuya standing over the defeated enemies, and that's it.
And I saw a lot of people that were happy. They kind of added the mention of Candace being like, oh, I'm low on power. And then she gets kaput. You know, that's like, okay, cool. So Candace isn't a joke, you know?
Yeah. I mean, she wasted all her energy trying to take out the goat.
Yeah.
I mean, how much do you need to beat Ichigo? The answer is everything and more.
She said she used like 5 gigajoules when she first mm-hmm. fought him. And I was trying to look it up, but I could not understand the conversion of electricity and what it takes to run like one single household.
Okay, yeah, that already sounds so complicated.
The most I got to was like it was like a whole country's worth of electricity.
I'm surprised almost. You were looking that up, Jose. The fuck? Of all people.
I don't understand it, but I love it's characters his girl. With lightning.
It's the guy who's like, yeah, I can't read that, dyslexia. And then he's like, yeah, so I was trying to do the conversion of gigajoules to what it takes to run a household of five. See, and I just couldn't figure it out.
Reading is difficult for me. Math and physics and stuff like that, I understand better somehow. I don't know why.
Jose, you're smarter than me. I cheated to get through high school on math. Fucking cheated hard. I hate math. I'll take care of the lore. You take care of the numbers.
There you go.
Oh, don't put this on
me. It's a partner. It's a partnership. Congrats, Jose.
Let's go. ChatGPT.
Hell yeah. Also, Sam, that's not surprising. That's his girl.
True. So who do you think, if you start a rank count, who by the end of Thousand Year Blower will have defeated the most Stern Renders? Not counting Yuha, right? Let's not pull some bullshit.
Kenpachi has a really good lead.
But his is four. Where if we count Byakuya, he defeated three.
Technically four, right? Because Pepe... No. Pepe was beat by technically Mayuri.
Yeah.
Technically Mayuri and on finished off by Lil Toto.
Yeah. So I would say defeated if you like beat them in a fight, you know, and like you move on, you live to tell the day.
Because like he and Toshiro and Kenpachi have the three piece combo, but they don't beat Gerard.
Yeah.
They just freeze him forever.
So Byakuya stays at three. That's where he maxes out.
Byakuya's at three. Kenpachi's at man? Four.
Yama?
Yeah, old man Yama took out a couple, right?
No, he took out one, and then he took out the copy.
Oh yeah, yo.
So that's two.
Yeah.
Byakuya did better than Yama, confirmed.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Are those Rukia's... the front runners? There's nobody else that has done more than one.
I mean, Ichigo toyed with them, but he didn't beat anybody.
He wasn't trying to kill anybody.
Interesting.
I think Ichigo's
so Ichigo's so fucking strong. He wasn't trying to kill someone. He still cut off Candace's arm.
I feel like I love how he's like, "Yo, get out of the way, dumbass."
I feel like there's so many Stern Renders, and that's wild that most of them, most of the other Soul Reapers only have one, but I guess a lot of them get kind of, you know, excommunicado. So
yeah, I mean, we know how Basby dies.
Mm-hmm. Fuck that. We know how Robert Acutron dies.
Yep.
Which it was better, really better than he could have been meat grinded by Byakuya, so he should be counting his lucky stars.
I mean, Ganju survived.
True.
Ganju stronger than Byakuya.
Maybe Byakuya wanted to keep Ganju alive for interrogation purposes, though.
Ooh, that is true.
He's not Shunsui. He was just like, fuck, I missed.
Yep.
Didn't hit any of the vitals. God damn it.
So I forget the name. I think it was called like the Wakamundo Chronicles. This was back in like 2007. It was an old Bleach Abridged series. There's that scene where Tosin cuts off Grimmjow's arm and it just cuts to him. He goes, god damn, I missed.
That's hilarious.
I think about every time someone misses, I think of that.
He's just like, shit, if I wasn't blind.
So we have a very small change from anime to manga. In the manga, Lil Toto and Mineus, they are covered in bruises because they, I think, had also been fighting Byakuya. But in the anime, they stayed back and they are completely fine.
Okay, that's cool. That makes sense.
You don't want to animate a 5-on-1. Nanana Najiku talking about there's no openings in Byakuya's Reishi. Maybe we talk about that later when Aizen shows up.
Okay.
Because it's interesting, Byakuya can do a thing that Aizen can't.
Interesting. Oh my god.
We'll get there probably next season.
Love that.
So next year.
Yeah. Gosh. I don't want to wait till next year.
It's better that we're getting it year to year. Some animes, you have to wait a long fucking time for next season.
There's a massive gap.
We'll take the year to year to year. That's fine.
Wasn't it like 4 years between Attack on Titan season 1 and 2?
Well, for even a worse like one, Devil is a part-timer. Season 2 was like
That was 10 years
or something like that.
I still haven't even seen part 2 yet.
Me neither.
And have they made season 2 of No Game, No Life yet?
Nope.
No, they talked about it, I think, once, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's better than it could be.
Yeah.
Here's one of my many mentions of fuck Pepe, all my homies hate Pepe, and my mention of the R&B song. So here's a really cool change from the manga to the anime that I think is fucking hilarious. In the manga, Kensei was not in his Bankai.
Oh, okay.
They were just like, hey, what if Mayuri wanted to punch him harder?
I feel like one of the animators was like, hey, fuck Pepe, right?
Let's go. Like, fuck this dude.
Let's beat his ass. It's like we'll have Kensei Kobanka and fucking clobber him.
Just imagine this guy was wronged by a Pepe once in his life.
And I feel like I kind of like that sometimes where Kensei's Bankai is potentially a strong Bankai with explosions and like that close range, but he just unfortunately went against Master Masculine and got fucked, you know? So I like that they showed it against Pepe and it's like, yeah, look, he beat his ass. It was
extremely effective. Mm-hmm.
Also, as a fan of boxing, I fucking love Hajime no Ippo. Having a guy whose Bankai is I punch hard is the best.
Mm-hmm. It's sick.
I wish he got more dubs. So the last scene where Lil Toto is eating Pepe, it's actually the first two pages of the next chapter, which is which is 597. And then to show you how weird it is with a skipped a scene, Yuha and the gang entering the Soul Palace is 588.
Oh,
but I think the anime version is just better.
I agree. Yeah, I do. I do like the way that this ended.
All of the stuff we just went through is sprinkled in between fights with Squad Zero. I like we're going to get it all at once. It's going to be hype.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is way better. It sets up the pacing and it kind of sets up for that climactic battle at the end, which we've been talking about for the past 8 million episodes, where it's like that battle being the end is going to be fucking hype.
I cannot wait to see that fucking sword.
And you know they're going to extend a lot of the fights as well, especially because we have three episodes and we're going right into it. The after credits thing, we're going to go right to Squad Zero. You know they're going to extend a whole bunch of it. It's going to be sick.
Uetsu's got that sword that he cannot keep in the sheath. That's just in a backpack full of water, and I can't wait to see it.
So let's go. So we know pretty much what the premise of the next three episodes are going to be, right? Now that we're setting it up on the right timeline. So Pythies, now that you know we're literally next episode – hopping into Squad Zero territory. Finally. Where do you think it's going to end?
It is either going to end as the creation of the Varvelt, or it will end on Aizen.
I agree. I feel like it's closer to Aizen than anything.
Now, can I ask a really dumb question that's going to potentially be a spoiler? What is the creation of the Varvelt?
What's his name? Yuha beats the shit out of Ichibe. And then creates his own sort of soul palace called the Varvelt, which is above Soul Society. What he turns the Soul King Palace into.
Okay. Got it. I'm just horrible with names, so I was like, what the fuck is a Varvelt? I saw in one of the leaks, which could be entirely incorrect, that it will end with Ichigo slashing the Soul King.
Maybe. Because the timeline, like, that kind of works. I don't remember because I'm trying not to go too far ahead, so it's all fresh for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's just what I saw.
That would be a hell of an ending.
Yeah, I didn't know if that would be too far out. I know we've talked about it before. I brought it up, and I think we were both like, nah, that's kind of far out. But that's what I've seen floating around the internet.
Then again, all of the stuff I'm thinking about in the future is like about to happen.
Yeah.
Because like the Ashwallen's going to happen soon. We have to get the Varvelt. We have to get everybody up to the Soul King Palace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So like that could happen.
Hey,
and they do want to end on a shock.
Yeah.
Last season was, hey, Uryu, you want to hang out with us? We're cool.
Yeah, that was the final shocker.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. I think that's cool.
Damn, that's going to be insane if that's how it ends.
Okay, you know, I'm going to amend my statement and say the last shot will be Ichigo stabbing the Soul King, cut to darkness, Aizen's eyes opening the Mukin, and that's how it'll end.
That'd be so sick. It would be sick if it ends with Shunsui coming to visit him, and it's basically like that conversation that they have where Aizen's like, oh, so you came to me, huh?
You can't crawling back. Do you really think Soul Society still be here in like 100 million years or whatever?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be cool if like the last line was something like, so how many keys did they give you? Or like, what permission did they give you? Like, and then it just cuts. That'd be fucking sick.
To him smirking too.
Yeah, classic Marvel. Aizen will return in, in Bleach Core 3 in 2024.
Okay, so do you remember all the hubbub when the first Transformers movie came out and like the classic Transformers theme song was not in it?
No, I do not remember any of that.
Okay, yeah, so 2007, I think. Transformers One comes out, the, you know,
with Shia.
Yeah, the OG Transformers theme.
More Than Meets the Eyes thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that song is not in it. People are mad. And they go, you could just market the second movie by saying that they put the theme song in.
True.
Like, mm-hmm,
true.
You don't need any screenshots. You don't need anything. Thousand Year Blood War Core 3. Hey, Aizen's in this one.
Yeah. Yep. Anything else we want to talk about for the Bleach episode?
So it was unintentionally funny, but like, so my Yuri's about to cure the zombies, right? Or no, the zombie Kensei and Rose and Rangi, who they're about to attack my Yuri, and then it cuts to Byakuya. I laughed my ass off when Kensei and Rose just showed up, because like, we don't need to know how Mayuri saved him, because of course he could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to show it, because I feel like it was self-explanatory. Eventually, probably defeated him, did the same fucking thing that he did to Toshiro. In this time, where is Toshiro?
Eh.
And Rangiku.
Being healed.
Okay. Yeah, being fucked off somewhere else.
Because he gets fully restored, right? Almost immediately?
I think it takes time.
Okay.
Once again, that drip, that's the best look Toshiro's ever had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that drip and the fighting style together made it fucking 10 out of 10 Toshiro.
He's what, wearing the Storm Ritter outfit, right?
Yeah.
Storm Ritter outfit, he's got the fur, he's got the silver buttons.
Yeah.
I'm pissy that I do not have him in Brave Souls.
Really? You don't have it?
I don't have him.
I'm sorry.
Missing out. I'm one of the coolest effects on any of the characters, that purple glow.
It's so good. They did make the ice purple, though.
Oh, that's cool. Worth it. They put a little bit of nod. A little nod in there.
Yeah, the Bleach anime has a nod to Brave Souls.
Yeah. You gotta pay respect to the mobile game that was just going strong the whole time.
For like 10 years. How long has it been?
10 years.
10 years?
Nah. Mm-hmm. Holy fuck. I was not there for most of it.
Bleach Brave Souls, if you're asking how long that's been. They just had their 8th anniversary. Oh, 8th? Yeah.
I think we showed up around 5th anniversary.
For Bleach Brave Souls, the first time I ever loaded up to play was because Jose was playing, and it was for the fucking Quincy version of Ichigo for the anniversary.
Yes, I think it was the 4th anniversary then.
I love that look.
Cool look, shitty unit. So yeah. That's why they had to remake it.
Really? Is that... Yeah. I remember very, very distinctly you relying on that dude...
Yeah, because it was the only unit that fit the fucking Senkaimon Pythes, and I didn't want to use him. He's a piece of shit.
I was there early Sam streams. You talk about how that's the best character in the game. Why would you ever use anybody else?
Because he was the only unit I had. Like I said, I loaded up to get that unit. I literally didn't know how to play the game. I loaded up and got whatever beginner orbs I had, spent it all on that fucking banner so I could have him. Because like, oh, it's an anniversary unit. It's going to be fucking rare. So I loaded up to get it and never touched the game again. Didn't understand how to play.
That's also when we would roll on premium summons and didn't know we were getting shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was funny as shit.
Which is still a classic maneuver to this day.
Yep.
God, I cannot remember who his name was, but he's one of the absolute chads in the stream who will just pay Sam to roll on premium banners.
Yeah, fucking gambling addicts and that.
Did you ever get anybody from that?
No, never.
Damn, even Fate Grand Order will give you pity on like a story banner.
There's the new banner that's coming out for Bleach Brave Souls that is Okiura, Yami, and who's Zamari? Them again, Okiura and Yami again. Zamari doesn't really get that many units. But I think every 3 steps you get a guaranteed 5-star now.
Huh.
I saw that. That's kind of hype.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I have 500 that I can roll.
So if that's the way they're going to go, that's way better.
It makes it a little bit easier, not as taxing.
I spent it all until I got Bambi, the new one.
Smart. It's good. Good moves.
That's a good one.
I had to do what I had to do, man. Going to go crazy when Lototo comes out.
Going to go crazy when Pepe comes out, baby.
Yeah.
Dude, Pepe's going to be the ultimate meme character. You need to get Pepe 5 out of 5 and just join people's lobbies.
Oh, my God. No.
Yes, sir. Max Transcend Pepe. Yes, sir.
The best part is what if he is actually the best character in the game?
Dude, that would be so beast.
I always think about that. Like, they need to release a top-tier character that people fucking hate because you know they're going to use them. They have to use them at that point.
Him and Loopy.
People like Loopy. Loopy actually has a pretty decent chunk of people because he's relevant in one of the novels.
Can't Figure Your Own World.
Can't Figure Your Own World. We'll get there.
So he's cool. He's got a good fan base.
That novel is why I think Lil Toto is so cool.
Damn. Cool. There you go.
She's in the top five of my favorite Stern Readers, man.
I'm just going to bite the bullet and read them soon.
Story time with Pythes is going to happen.
I feel like, though, top five for Stern Reader, there's not that many good Stern Readers to pick from. So that's pretty easy for Lil Toto to make its way up there.
This is true. But then I'm like, well, do I like Bambi or do I like Bambi as a zombie?
So no, I have trouble picking. We don't like Bambi as a zombie. Come on. We like Bambi.
We
as
like
zombie.
Regular Bambi.
Mm. Yeah, but this Bambi's got like a different kind of BDSM thing going on.
Oh, Jesus.
Damn, dude.
All right.
All right.
On with your notes, Pythes. Anything else you want to touch on?
No, that was it.
Oh, all right. Love that.
Ends
right,
on cool. The BDSM.
I love you, Pythes.
You're the best, dude.
You're welcome.
Jesus. Okay. Well, we'll call it on that one. Of course, if you guys want any more information, you want to communicate with us more, the best place to reach out, number one, join the Discord. Number two, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Threads. If you want to be really a hipster, I suppose, you can join us on Threads. Aside from that, make sure you guys are liking and subscribing the video. Once again, the support has been incredible. We do appreciate you guys. We will be back next week for the penultimate episode.
Yeah, because the last one's a two-parter?
It's a two-parter, but it's all released at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's a mega episode. So we will see you guys then. If you guys have any questions for us, feel free to leave them in the comments, and we'll be sleuthing around looking in there. Until then, we'll see you guys next time. Bye, everybody.